Chapter 41, On the Emperor's Return from the West. The Acacians assemble at Constantinople, and confirm the creed of Ariminum, after making some additions to it. And now the emperor returned from the west and appointed a prefect over Constantinople, Honoratus by name, having abolished the office of proconsul. One but the Acacians being beforehand with the bishops, calumniated them to the emperor, persuading him not to admit the creed which they had proposed. This so annoyed the emperor that he resolved to disperse them. He therefore published an edict, commanding that such of them as were subject to fill certain public offices should be no longer exempted from the performance of the duties attached to them. For several of them were liable to be called on to occupy various official departments, two connected both with the city magistracy, and in subordination to the presidents and governors of provinces. Three, while these were thus harassed, the partisans of Acacius remained for a considerable time at Constantinople and held another synod. Sending for the bishops at Bithynia, about 50 assembled on this occasion, among whom was Mares, bishop of Chalcedon. These confirmed the creed read at Ariminum, to which the names of the consuls had been prefixed. For it would have been unnecessary to repeat it here, had there not been some additions made to it. But since that was done, it may be desirable to transcribe it in its new form. We believe in one God the Father Almighty, of whom are all things, and in the only begotten Son of God, begotten of God before all ages, and before every beginning, through whom all things visible and invisible were made, who is the only begotten born of the Father, the only of the only, God of God, like to the Father who begat him, according to the Scriptures, and whose generation no one knows but the Father only that begat him. We know that this only begotten Son of God, as sent of the Father, came down from the heavens, as it is written, for the destruction of sin and death, and that he was born of the Holy Spirit, and of the Virgin Mary according to the flesh, as it is written, and conversed with his disciples, and that after every dispensation had been fulfilled according to his Father's will, he was crucified and died, and was buried and descended into the lower parts of the earth, at whose presence Hades itself trembled, who also arose from the dead on the third day, again conversed with his disciples, and after the completion of 40 days was taken up into the heavens, and sits at the right hand of the Father, whence he will come in the last day, the day of the resurrection, in his Father's glory, to requite every one accord to his works. We believe also in the Holy Spirit, whom he himself, the only begotten of God, Christ our Lord and God, promised to send to mankind as the Comforter, according as it is written, 6, the Spirit of Truth, whom he sent to them after he was received into the heavens. But since the term ousia, substance or essence, which was used by the fathers in a very simple and intelligible sense, but not being understood by the people, has been a cause of offence, we have thought proper to reject it, as it is not contained even in the sacred writings, and that no mention of it should be made in future, inasmuch as the Holy Scriptures have nowhere mentioned the substance of the Father and of the Son, nor ought the subsistence of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit to be even named. But we affirm that the Son is like the Father, in such a manner as the sacred Scriptures declare and teach. Let therefore all heresies which have been already condemned, or may have arisen of late, which are opposed to this exposition of the faith, be anathema. These things were recognized at that time at Constantinople, and now as we have at length wound our way through the labyrinth of all the various forms of faith, let us reckon the number of them. After that which was promulgated at Nicaea, two others were proposed at Antioch at the dedication of the church there. 7. A third was presented to the emperor in Gaul by Narcissus and those who accompanied him. 8. The fourth was sent by Eudoxius into Italy. 9. There were three forms of the creed published at Smium, one of which having the consuls' names prefixed was read at Ariminum. 10. The Acacian party produced an eighth at Seleucia. 11. The last was that of Constantinople, containing the prohibitory clause respecting the mention of substance or subsistence in relation to God. To this creed Ulfilas, bishop of the Goths, gave his assent, although he had previously adhered to that of Nicaea, for he was a disciple of Theophilus, bishop of the Goths, who was present at the Nicene Council, and subscribed what was the determined. Let this suffice on these subjects. Chapter 42, on the deposition of Macedonius, Eudoxius obtains the bishopric of Constantinople. Acasius, Eudoxius, and those at Constantinople who took part with them, became exceedingly anxious that they also on their side might depose some of the opposite party. Now it should be observed that neither of the factions were influenced by religious considerations in making depositions, but by other motives, for although they did not agree respecting the faith, yet the ground of their reciprocal depositions was not error in doctrine. The Acacian party therefore availing themselves of the emperor's indignation against others, and especially against Macedonius, which he was cherishing and anxious to vent, in the first place deposed Macedonius, both on account of his having occasioned so much slaughter, and also because he had admitted to communion a deacon who had been found guilty of fornication. One they then depose Eleusius bishop of Cyzicus, for having baptized, and afterwards invested with the diaconate, a priest of Hercules at Tyre named Heraclius, who was known to have practiced magic arts. To a like sentence was pronounced against Basil, or Basileus, Dash as he was also called, Dash who had been constituted bishop of Ancyra instead of Marcellus. The causes assigned for this condemnation were, that he had unjustly imprisoned a certain individual, loaded him with chains, and put him to the torture, that he had traduced some persons, and that he had disturbed the churches of Africa by his epistles. Draconcius was also deposed, because he had left the Galatian church for that of Pergamos. Moreover they deposed, on various pretenses, Ninas bishop of Seleucia, the city in which the synod had been convened, Sophronius of Pompeia Plus in Paphlagonia, Elpidius of Satala, in Macedonia, and Cyril of Jerusalem, and others for various reasons. Chapter 43, of Astartheus bishop of Sebastia. But Astartheus bishop of Sebastia in Armenia was not even permitted to make his defense, because he had been long before deposed by Eulalius, his own father, who was bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, for dressing in a style unbecoming the sacerdotal office. One let it be noted that Meletius was appointed his successor, of whom we shall hereafter speak. Astartheus indeed was subsequently condemned by a synod convened on his account at Gangra in Paphlagonia, he having, after his deposition by the council at Caesarea, done many things repugnant to the ecclesiastical canons. For he had forbidden marriage, to and maintained that meats were to be abstained from. He even separated many from their wives, and persuaded those who disliked to assemble in the churches to commune at home. Under the pretext of piety, he also seduced servants from their masters. He himself wore the habit of a philosopher, and induced his followers to adopt a new and extraordinary garb, directing that the hair of women should be cropped. He permitted the prescribed fasts to be neglected, but recommended fasting on Sundays. In short, he forbade prayers to be offered in the houses of married persons, and declared that both the benediction and the communion of a presbyter who continued to live with a wife whom he might have lawfully married, while still a layman, ought to be shunned as an abomination. For doing and teaching these things and many others of a similar nature, a synod convened, as we have said, at Gangra 30 in Paphlagonia deposed him, and anathematized his opinions. This, however, was done afterwards, but on Macedonius being ejected from the see of Constantinople, Eudoxius, who now looked upon the see of Antioch as secondary in importance, was promoted to the vacant bishopric, being consecrated by the Acacians, who in this instance cared not to consider that it was inconsistent with their former proceedings. For they who had deposed Draconcius because of his translation from Galatia to Pergamos, were clearly acting in contrariety to their own principles and decisions, in ordaining Eudoxius, who then made a second change. After this they sent their own exposition of the faith, in its corrected and supplementary form, to Arminium, ordering that all those who refused to sign it should be exiled on the authority of the emperor's edict. They also informed such other prelates in the East as coincided with them in opinion of what they had done, and more especially Patrophilus bishop of Scythopolis, who on leaving Seleucia had proceeded directly to his own city. Eudoxius having been constituted bishop of the imperial city, the great church named Sophia was at that time consecrated, 4 in the 10th consulate, 5 of Constantius, and the 3rd of Julian Caesar, on the 15th day of February. It was while Eudoxius occupied this see, that he first uttered that sentence which is still everywhere current, the father is impious, the son is pious. When the people seemed startled by this expression, and a disturbance began to be made, "Be not troubled," said he, "on account of what I have just said, for the father is impious, because he worships no person, but the son is pious because he worships the father." Eudoxius having said this, the tumult was appeased, and great laughter was excited in the church, and this saying of his continues to be a jest, even in the present day. The heresiarchs indeed frequently devised such subtle phrases as these, and by them rent the church asunder. Thus was the synod at Constantinople terminated. Chapter 44, of Meletius, one bishop of Antioch. It becomes us now to speak of Meletius, who, as we have recently observed, was created bishop of Sebastia in Armenia, after the deposition of Astathius. From Sebastia he was transferred to Berea, a city of Syria. Being present at the Synod of Seleucia, he subscribed the creed set forth there by Acacius, and immediately returned thence to Berea. When the convention of the Synod at Constantinople was held, the people of Antioch, finding that Eudoxius, captivated by the magnificence of the See of Constantinople, had contemned their church, they sent for Meletius, and invested him with the bishopric of the church at Antioch. Now he at first avoided all doctrinal questions, confining his discourses to moral subjects, but subsequently he expounded to his auditors the Nicene Creed, and asserted the doctrine of the Homoousion. The emperor being informed of this, ordered that he should be sent into exile, and caused Dozoas, who had before been deposed, together with Arius, to be installed bishop of Antioch in his stead. Such, however, as were attached to Meletius, separated themselves from the Arian congregation, and held their assemblies apart. Nevertheless, those who originally embraced the Homoousian opinion would not communicate with them, because Meletius had been ordained by the Arians, and his adherents had been baptized by them. Thus was the Antiochian church divided, even in regard to those whose views on matters of faith exactly corresponded. Meanwhile, the emperor, getting intelligence that the Persians were preparing to undertake another war against the Romans, repaired in great haste to Antioch. Chapter 45, the heresy of Macedonius. Macedonius, on being ejected from Constantinople, bore his condemnation ill and became restless. He therefore associated himself with the other faction that had deposed Acacius and his party at Seleucia, and sent a deputation to Sophronius and Eleusius, to encourage them to adhere to that creed which was first promulgated at Antioch, and afterwards confirmed at Seleucia, proposing to give it the counterfeit one name of the Homoousian Creed. By this means he drew around him a great number of adherents, who from him are still denominated Macedonians. And although such as dissented from the Acacians at the Seleucian Synod had not previously used the term Homoousios, yet from that period they distinctly asserted it. There was, however, a popular report that this term did not originate with Macedonius, but was the invention rather of Marathonius, who a little before had been set over the church at Nicomedia, on which account the maintainers of this doctrine were also called Marathonians. To this party Astathius joined himself, who for the reasons before stated had been ejected from the church at Sebastia. But when Macedonius began to deny the divinity of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, Astathius said, "I can neither admit that the Holy Spirit is God, nor can I dare affirm him to be a creature. For this reason those who hold the Homoousion of the Son call these heretics pneumatomachi." 3 By what means these Macedonians became so numerous in the Hellespont, I shall state in its proper place. For the Acacians meanwhile became extremely anxious that another synod should be convened at Antioch, in consequence of having changed their mind respecting their former assertion of the likeness in all things of the Son to the Father. A small number of them therefore assembled in the following consulate, 5, which was that of Taurus and Florentius, at Antioch in Syria, where the emperor was at that time residing, Uzoas being bishop. A discussion was then renewed on some of those points which they had previously determined, in the course of which they declared that the term homoios ought to be erased from the form of faith which had been published both at Ariminum and Constantinople, and they no longer concealed but openly declared that the Son was altogether unlike the Father, not merely in relation to his essence, but even as it respected his will, asserting boldly also, as Arius had already done, that he was made of nothing. Those in that city who favoured the heresy of Aetius, gave their assent to this opinion, from which circumstance, in addition to the general appellation of Arians, they were also termed Anamenes, 6 and Exuconscians, 7 by those at Antioch who embraced the Homoousian, who nevertheless were at that time divided among themselves on account of Mesias, as I have before observed, being therefore questioned by them, how they dared to affirm that the Son is unlike the Father, and has his existence from nothing, after having acknowledged him God of God in their former creed. They endeavoured to elude this objection by such fallacious subterfuges as these. The expression, God of God, said they, is to be understood in the same sense as the words of the Apostle, 8 but all things of God. Wherefore the Son is of God, as being one of these all things, and it is for this reason the words according to the Scriptures are added in the draft of the creed. The author of this sophism was George Bishop of Laodicea, who being unskilled in such phrases, was ignorant of the manner in which Origen had formerly explained these peculiar expressions of the Apostle, having thoroughly investigated the matter, but notwithstanding these evasive cavillings, they were unable to bear the reproach and contumely they had drawn upon themselves, and fell back upon the creed which they had before put forth at Constantinople, and so each one retired to his own district. George, returning to Alexandria, resumed his authority over the churches there, Athanasius still not having made his appearance. Those in that city who were opposed to his sentiments he persecuted, and conducting himself with great severity and cruelty, he rendered himself extremely odious to the people. At Jerusalem Arianus 9 was placed over the church instead of Cyril. We may also remark that Heraclius was ordained bishop there after him, and after him Hilary. At length, however, Cyril returned to Jerusalem, and was again invested with the presidency over the church there. About the same time another heresy sprang up, which arose from the following circumstance. Chapter 46, of the Apollinarians, and their heresy. 1. There were two men of the same name at Laodicea in Syria, a father and son. Their name was Apollinaris, the former of them was a presbyter, and the latter a reader in that church. Both taught Greek literature, the father grammar, and the son rhetoric. The father was a native of Alexandria, and at first taught at Berytus, but afterwards removed to Laodicea, where he married, and the younger Apollinaris was born. They were contemporaries of Epiphanius the Sophist, and being true friends they became intimate with him, but Theodotus, bishop of Laodicea, fearing that such communication should pervert their principles, and lead them into paganism, forbade their associating with him. They, however, paid but little attention to this prohibition, their familiarity with Epiphanius being still continued. George, the successor of Theodotus, also endeavoured to prevent their conversing with Epiphanius, but not being able in any way to persuade them on this point, he excommunicated them. The younger Apollinaris, regarding this severe procedure as an act of injustice, and relying on the resources of his rhetorical sophistry, originated a new heresy, which was named after its inventor, and still has many supporters. Nevertheless, some affirm that it was not for the reason above assigned that they dissented from George, but because they saw the unsettledness and inconsistency of his profession of faith, since he sometimes maintained that the Son is like the Father, in accordance with what had been determined in the Synod at Seleucia, and at other times countenanced the Arian view. They therefore made this a pretext for separation from him, but as no one followed their example, they introduced a new form of doctrine, and at first they asserted that in the economy of the Incarnation, God the Word assumed a human body without a soul. Afterwards, as if changing mind, they retracted, admitting that he took a soul indeed, but that it was an irrational one. God the Word himself being in the place of mind. Those who followed them and bear their name at this day affirm that this is their only point of distinction from the Catholics, for they recognize the consubstantiality of the persons in the Trinity. But we will make further mention of the two opiners in the proper place. Chapter 47, Successes of Julian, Death of the Emperor Constantius. While the Emperor Constantius continued his residence at Antioch, Julian Caesar engaged with an immense army of barbarians in the Gauls, and obtaining the victory over them, he became extremely popular among the soldiery and was proclaimed emperor by them. When this was made known, the Emperor Constantius was affected most painfully. He was therefore baptized by Uzoas, and immediately prepared to undertake an expedition against Julian. On arriving at the frontiers of Cappadocia and Cilicia, his excessive agitation of mind produced apoplexy, which terminated his life at Mopsuchine, in the consulate of Taurus and Florentius, 1 on the 3d of November. This was in the first year of the 285th Olympiad. Constantius had lived 45 years, having reigned 38 years, 13 of which he was his father's colleague in the empire, and after his father's death for 25 years sole emperor, the history of which latter period is contained in this book. Dash.